The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group. And if you've missed an episode or you find any information that we talk about today helpful for a friend or a family member, or if not helpful, then maybe for an enemy, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or find Senior Solutions on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Stuart Rosenthal joins me today. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Eric.
So recently, I've been working with several clients who are getting ready to make a move into a retirement community in this area. And there are a multitude of retirement communities in the D.C. area. And my general rule of thumb is for them to interview move managers, which is a recent trend in the industry, where instead of just a mover, where you call your town and country or your Beacons or whoever come over, and the guys would come over and bubble wrap things. Mr. Stewart, I'll just carry this out to the truck. And it's not really organized. The move management industry has blossomed. But how do you hire a good move manager? And I was curious to see if you might have some pointers or insight.
Well, I think you want to find out what services they're really going to be offering and what range of things they do. I mean, there are people, of course, who will do your packing ahead of time. And they'll also help map out your new location, you know, how much furniture will fit and what do you really want and what do you want to do with the furniture you're not bringing. And they sort of cover all the different topics. And once you move, they unpack you and get you all settled in. So it's start to finish. It can be a complete operation, which is great.
So this idea that you're moving, you've decided you're going to move to an apartment or a small single family house, take me through the probable scenario that most move managers will advise those potential clients on how to approach this.
Well, okay, I'll have to start with a caveat. I've never been a move manager myself.
Right.
But I have moved my parents, and I have dealt with these people before. And there's so many issues that confront the person when they're downsizing and moving to another community, right? First of all, you have way too much stuff.
Right.
And you also want to sell where you are if you've owned it, right? So there's so many things to do with cleaning up and boxing up and choosing right then. What do you keep? What do you give away? To whom do you give it? Do you sell it? Do you hand it out to people for, you know, to nonprofits? Do you pass it down to your descendants?
Right.
You know, so many questions along those lines. And then just what can and do I want to move? What makes me feel comfortable in the new place? You really have to think about that. It's your own decision, but a good move manager will help you think about it in the right way.
I think you just hit on it. It's that thinking, helping you think about things in the, quote, right way, which is everybody's way of thinking about any particular item is going to be their own way.
Exactly.
So, but analyzing what it is that you need, what it is that you love but don't need, and what it is that you love, you don't need, but you still use occasionally or you don't use at all. I use an example of a gnome when I'm describing this. Gnome, you know, who needs a gnome? Do you need a gnome by any chance?
In your garden kind of thing.
Would you like one? I've got an extra one.
I'll pass, thank you.
Right. I mean, so gnomes are, you know, frankly, better off gnomeless. Okay. So, but anyway, so gnomes are not really necessary. But let's imagine that the Joe and Mary in this situation, fictitious example, say Joe is at the World's Fair 1982 in Knoxville, Tennessee. And when he's there, he buys a World's Fair gnome for his wife to be. And now it's been 35 years, and they're now downsizing, and there's that 1982 gnome from the World's Fair.
Special memories.
Okay, and it sits in a box in the back of a closet.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, it's where it belongs, because it's not useful. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Could have been in the garden all these years.
They could have. It's true. Now, the gnome would have been very happy out there, I'm sure, if it actually had feelings. But the gnome is now, you know, now they're crossing this bridge of relocation into a retirement community or downsizing and whatnot. And the question comes, what do I do with that gnome? Helen Flynn also is here. Helen, give us, what is your insight into what would you do with the gnome?
Could I say I wouldn't buy it in the first place?
I'm afraid in this example it's too late for that.
No, I guess not. All right. No. well, I might try to donate it to somebody, give it to somebody, or find a nice yard for it to rest in peace. But, you Anything else you'd like to ask me this morning?
Helen, it was great having you on the show. Get out of here. Okay.
Well, but seriously. May I make a suggestion? It depends. Every item has its place in someone's memory. If there's something about that particular occasion.
Yes.
Of course, it wouldn't have been in the closet if that was the case. But if there's something that has that memory, it could certainly be an item of interest in your room in an apartment, you know, a retirement community. What is that? What's the story behind that? No, it starts conversations, you know?
Right, right.
And for people, there may be something that's really special for them that wouldn't even occur to us to keep. Mm-hmm. You and I encountered a lady that collected perfume bottles.
Ah, yes.
And I think you suggested that she keep one or two. But I sensed that there was a real connection to those perfume bottles. And I thought that even if she had to put them in the bathroom, she should keep the perfume bottles and throw away the gnomes.
Well, you know, that's and after I made that suggestion, she didn't like my fragrance anymore. Well, come on. Okay. So, but seriously, you're right. So, and we had an example of a lady, and I can't remember if it was purses or whatnot, but she had 100, and she couldn't use them all. Mm. She took a picture of all of them and made a poster out of pictures of those purses so that she could always remember. And she kept 2 or 3. So keeping the item itself isn't as critical as the memory itself to keep it alive. And, you know, a gnome in this case is not useful. You don't need a gnome. You might love that gnome, but you don't use it. You don't need it. It's time to consider how I can let the gnome go but keep the memory alive.
Right.
So your move managers can help you think through what to take and what not. It'll ultimately, it's like in real estate, I'll tell people what I think, but I'll always do what they ask, right? Mm-hmm. It's that obedience issue. When you're being hired to work for somebody, you know, I'll tell people, look, I wouldn't do this, but I would do this because based on my 31 years in real estate, I know what to avoid. I know which way to go. But if you want to go that way, we'll go there together, and I'll continue to guide you along the way. When it comes to the stuff, if you've got a gnome, you could keep it on the mantle in the fire, you know, in the family room, and you could just bring it out every so often. If you're not, maybe it's time to consider letting it go, donate it. If you could sell it, maybe make a little money, and the kids might want it. So line things up this way. Either take it with you, offer it to the kids, sell it if it has value, donate it so you get some kind of a tax write-off, and if worse comes to worse, maybe just plant it in your neighbor's yard.
Just a side note there, I'm finding that there are neighborhood newsletters, email connections
listservs,
where people are selling a ton of stuff that they couldn't get rid of before.
Yes.
And they're going at cheap prices, but they're going to people that could really use them. So I really suggest that for folks. And there's also an app called Let's Go. Let Go.
Okay.
And it's another resource because the donations to Goodwill and all of that have become more and more difficult.
You know, I think we all are afraid that we're going to give something away that has great value. And recently I was talking with Matt Quinn from Quinn's Antiques because there was a trunk in one of my listings built in 1905. It was a steamer trunk with ornate scalloped top, and then inside it had old rose-colored wallpaper. It was classic and clearly had traveled across the Atlantic a few times. And the family that owned it had carried it. The family had carried it for 114 years now since that, you know, passing it from, and think of all the times that was moved. Mm-hmm. And this thing is not small. Mm-hmm. It is at least 3 feet by probably 3.5 feet. It's massive. So it's got a lot of space. I reached out to Matt. I sent him a picture of that trunk. I said, Matt, what's the value of this inside, outside? I'm thinking it's really cool. He got back to me and told me 100, maybe 150 bucks. And I texted that to my client, and there was this, you know, little, oh, right? You know, unfortunately, he said if it was a Louis Vuitton, it might be worth $10,000. But those are not very desirable. And a lot of times, if you don't know whether something's got value, you don't know if you should let it go, don't be afraid to take a picture and text it to Stephanie Kenyon at Sloan's and Kenyon or Matt Quinn or other auctioneers who will quickly look at it and tell you, not worth our time, better off to give it away. Whatever it might be, good way to approach that. Thinking about relocation, yes, you want to add something?
I was going to go back to the move managers.
Yes.
And what I'm finding in a lot of situations are folks that are moving on a budget and they really can't afford a move manager or some of the services that we talk about so often, and they're kind of, well, how do I do this? How do I manage this? And I've given a fair amount of thought because I see it so often. And my suggestion is to just start slowly and give yourself time. But there are a lot of folks out there that are counting on the sale of their house for whatever their next move is going to be. And there isn't any spare cash. Mm-hmm. So I think there's another segment of our audience out there that's listening and saying, well, that's fine for you, but what am I going to do and how do I manage this? I'm all alone mm-hmm. and I have no money and I need to move.
So this is one of the reasons why we put together the Right Sizing Guide. This is a free publication that we offer out on the show to be mailed to you if you'd like. No postage necessary, just a means of educating you, giving you the tools so you know how to follow a pattern on your own if you can't afford to hire somebody to help you. And that is downloadable also on our website. So if you're listening, and I appreciate your point, well said, go to ericstewartgroup.com and download the Right Sizing Guide or call us at 800-900-9104. Again, that's 800-900-9104. Leave a message and say, I'd like a copy of the Right Sizing Guide, and we'll ship one out to you. This will give you the tools. It will help you, like the three questions that we were talking about with the gnome earlier. Do I love it? Do I need it? Do I use it? These are good questions for you to use to evaluate any one item. But then also, how do I organize what I'm going to do with those items that I decide I don't want anymore and make good use of it? You can also shoot us an email. You can shoot it to Helen or Eric. So Helen@ericstewartgroup.com, Eric@ericstewartgroup.com. If you have questions about how to approach that process or would like a visit from one of our group to come through and give you some, you know, direction in how to get through a process. If you think, yeah, I'm starting to raise that white flag of surrender with my house, but it's hard for me to do that with all this stuff, then feel free to reach out and ask us. We'll come out and start that, help you get started in that process. So we're going to take a quick break. When I get back, we're going to talk relocation specifically, how to decide where to relocate to as you're getting older, if that's an option for you. Straight ahead.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tote enough. Too much stuff.
One of my daughters has just finished her hockey career in high school, and she'll be attending Liberty University in Lynchburg, playing hockey for the Liberty women's ice hockey team, and I'm very, very happy about that. While at that party, I was having a conversation with a mother of one of the kids on the team, and she mentioned to me that she and some friends had traveled down to Florida to see what options there might be for a future retirement. Now, she was taking a step probably about 8 to 10 years out from actually making a decision to move out of the area and move out of this, you know, move into Florida potentially. So she was looking in South Beach, and she was also traveling to Panama, and she also is traveling to other parts, including, you know, maybe out west in Arizona, looking at options, possibly Colorado. Okay. That said, the way she approached it was to go down on an initial visit, spend 4 or 5 days with some girlfriends that she would hope would also relocate down so they could carry their relationship forward where they're going to retire. And she laid out how she and her husband for the last 15 years have consistently gone to the same summer spot and then have built friendships in that spot with the people there, kind of like family. You come back the same week, you see the same people at the store, you go to the restaurant, there's Bob and Sue, they come the same week. It's really quite nice. But the quality of those relationships, she wants to do that again, replicate that by moving someplace else. I thought this was a particularly good idea.
I like it.
To not look at relocating as an individual event, but look at it as a community event with mm-hmm. friends of yours that you would like to spend more time with wherever you go. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I think it only applies to people who really are in the position where they have enough friends who might be in that same boat. I mean, a lot of the times the people who you're close to will say, I like it where I am, or I'm moving where my kids live, or I'm, you know, I have a different idea of where I want to go. You know, it's hard to get everybody on the same plate, same plane there, I think. But it's a great idea if it works.
So that is true. And I think that they'll continue to go to the same summer spot. This would be an alternative maybe on the other side of the season, mm-hmm. unless they keep a footprint here. Now, this is an expensive venture to yes. possibly keep two homes, or mm-hmm. three for that matter. Mm-hmm. So perhaps they'll ultimately just stay full time in one certain spot and then travel from there. As we get older, it's harder to bear with the weather here,
right?
Because of the cold and the ice and the other issues. One of my past clients recently broke their wrist, just slipped on the ice, very casual step, boom, broke a wrist. And you know, he's 77. It's going to take him a while to get through that. He'll be fine. But anyway, so she has really taken an idea that I like. I like this sort of. We talked previously, Helen and I talked about how we approach relocation like climbing Mount Everest. You come to the base and you acclimate your body to that elevation. And then before you go up to the next level, you know, you're acclimated, you go up 1,000 feet, put in supplies and whatnot, you're there checking it out, and you come back to base camp. In their case, they're going to Miami, they're going to Panama, they're going to go to Colorado, they're going to visit these places and then come back here to base camp to discuss the route that they're going to take. And it's a good analogy for how we might approach relocation. Helen, how have you approached the idea of retirement, possibly relocating or staying locally, or what are you thinking?
I'm not retiring.
There you go. I'm not retiring. So
you know, that's another whole topic, but I think if you can keep going or start a new career, it's different strokes for different folks, and I think it's good for people if they can and if they want to keep trucking along. To answer your question or to go on where you were, I think many of us think, well, I'm in no hurry to make a move. I'm fine where I am. I don't really want to move. I have no burning desire to do it. But I think it becomes a case of it's not either or. You either stay or you move. But it might be when that time comes or if it comes, and we can prepare for that by doing exactly what these folks are doing. Take some trips, visit some places, and it might be that an opportunity arises. If not, you've just had a good time visiting.
Right. Plus, you may confirm the decision that you don't want to move, that you really like where you are here. Okay. I love the D.C. region because I love the monuments. I love the museums. I love all the good places to eat now. It's a vibrant place to live. The weather is fairly nice most of the year around. You get the beauty of the seasons.
Right.
But if you needed something more and you wanted to relocate outside the area, this is a good idea. I thought Deb is her name. I thought she had a good idea about how to approach that. If you're listening and you're thinking, hey, that's actually something I've done. I've gone with friends and we're shopping for relocation places. I'd like you to get in touch with me and possibly share that story here on this show. For the benefit of our listeners, you can shoot an email to us at eric@ericstewartgroup.com and I'll respond back to you personally. So, Stuart, you've been in the business of publishing now for not quite 30 years, right?
More than 30 years.
More than 30 years. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
And in that time, we've seen the senior market shift fairly aggressively to a much more elaborate and luxurious setup where a nursing home is no longer a nursing home. It's now about life plan communities. What is a life plan community as a comparison with that old nursing home
idea? Well, first of all, you have to really separate it from nursing home. I think that's a very, it might give people the wrong idea. By life plan, we're really talking about the rest of your life from wherever you happen to be. And normally these communities start with independent adults. They are usually, often at least, gated communities or communities with golf courses and swimming pools and all kinds of wonderful services for people who are active and engaged, and that's where they want you to start. What makes them a lifelong life plan community is that if you have the need for assistance later on, well, you might need assisted living, they can provide that for you where you are, or they can provide it for you in an assisted living building on the campus. And then if you were, for example, to, God forbid, break your wrist or something and you needed a nursing home or somewhere to recuperate or rehab, they would have that also on the same premises. And you would either move to a different floor of the building or you would move to a different building, but you'd stay in the same community with the same friends, with your spouse, and can come back to your place when you're done. So it's really meant to be a long-term continuum of life.
Yes. Yes, and that life plan is a synonym for continuing care, retirement communities.
Used to be called that, exactly.
CCRC. We've changed the name to life plan, which is a much stronger and I think a better name to describe that.
Indeed.
Independent assisted and whatever you may need. It's
right.
Your plan for your life.
Right.
How can you plan for your future? So We've put a guide together called our Life Plan Guide. It is a guide of all of the Life Plan communities here in the D.C. area.
Great.
And in the Beacon newspaper, if you don't read it, it's a highly worthwhile publication. It's at thebeaconnewspapers.com. You can read what Stuart puts together on a monthly basis. And Stuart has all the independent and assisted living facilities in his magazine as well. So if you're looking for information and starting a process of thinking, yeah, I kind of need to think about that now. Where am I going to go? The house is getting to be too much. We're all in a different point in our journey. Now's a good time to raise my flag and say, hey, tell me what I can find out.
Right. Every quarter we have our special housing and home care options pullout section. That will be again in April.
Yes.
And that covers both those who want to move to a retirement community and see what the choices are, but also those who want to stay in place and age in place and bring in the services to their own home. So we try to cover the gamut.
Inevitably, every spring, I get a call from somebody who says, gosh, what you talked about really resonated with me when it came to hoarding. When someone has too much stuff in their house, even to the point where they may have three or four of the same item, but they just don't know, or the ceiling's coming down, or there's just stuff everywhere.
Newspapers.
And first of all, I tell our listeners, there's no judgment for where you are, because where you are is where you are. And we all get into different places in life, and sometimes we need assistance to get out of it. So we would suggest that if you're in that place where you can't possibly think of selling your home, but you really need to sell your house, ask Helen Flynn to come over and have her walk through. Helen comes with a social worker's background, and she can help you think through your process of getting your house ready to go on the market, even if it's going to be 3 or 4 years from now. That's okay. We want to give you the steps, give you the guidance and the marching orders, so to speak, of how you can proceed through change in your life. And if worst case comes to worst case and you think there's just nothing you can or are willing to do and you just want to sell it in as-is condition, Helen will discuss that with you and give you the options for whether you sell to a builder or whether you sell to the general public using the quiet listing or other tools that we have in our group. You can shoot her an email if you have questions at helen@ericstewartgroup.com. Or toll-free 800-900-9104. Helen?
It's not a hopeless situation, and I think it takes such courage to pick up that phone and say, I need some help. Can you come out and give me some suggestions? And the thought of having people traipsing through your home looking at it to buy is not necessary. There are other ways around it, and there is help. There's no time restraints on it, and I look at it as a coaching situation. We'll just coach you through the process, walk you through, take your hand as you go through it, because it's not easy. But the alternative, and I've seen people trapped in their homes, and it's a very unfortunate situation. And far better just pick up the phone and call, and we'll get you the help you need.
Fantastic. Stuart, any parting thoughts for our audience?
I think you covered a lot of very interesting topics in the show. I can see why people like to tune into your show every week. And I'm pleased to be a part of it. Thank you.
All the more desirable because you and Helen are here. Thank you for joining us today.
Certainly.
Well, every week we bring you the truth in real estate and pointing you home from 8 to 8:30 and hear the Senior Solutions show from 8:30 to 9. Again, if you're listening today, great. If you want to listen to our shows or share this with your friends who are out of our area, they can download the app Spotify or iHeartRadio, and they can listen to all of our shows, and there's a good directory on both of all of the previous shows that we have for topics that may be of interest to you. Thanks again for listening. I'm Eric Stewart of Long & Foster, and this is the Senior Solutions Show. We'll be back next week. You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too
much stuff. Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about the Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766, or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.